You know, I wrote a book about education. I've written some books about politics. And it just didn't feel like the right time to kind of assess where we were in the military, especially after 20 years of more or less ongoing combat. But then things, you know, under Obama, but really after Trump and then in Biden, you start to look around and you say, wow. And it happened really fast. The deeper question is, how did the military allow itself to go woke?
Service members in the U.S. military branches are warning that diversity, equity, and inclusion policies are weakening the institutions while recruitment is falling short and morale is dropping.
No one wants to work, let alone serve. Last year, the Army alone came up short. They wanted 60,000. They were short by 15,000. Are woke recruiting commercials like this to blame?
When the American people see advertisements in June with rainbow bullets strapped to helmets, when they see surgeries for transgender being funded by taxpayers, they see the Department of Defense being turned into a social engineering experiment.
We saw it under Clinton with the tinkering of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the reasons for those changes, and I talked to some of the people involved in when that was changed, but it really happened, started to accelerate under Obama. Would I recommend my kids join the Army today or the military today? And it used to be, of course I would. And over the last couple of years, it became clear, like, would I?
All right, Sandy Reels with you on Sandy Reels 24/7. Well, that's in part the voice of Pete Hegseth. Pete is President Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense. And, of course, the left is going apoplectic. Pete, who is Pete? He's a weekend fill-in talk show host for Fox and Friends, an unserious person, a goofy guy, not equipped for this job. Well, is he or is he not? Today, we're going to focus on Pete Hegseth. I want to remind you that the current Secretary of Defense is Lloyd Austin, the one who led us into the terrible quagmire and withdrawal from Afghanistan, the one who made this sweeping change in the military to muster out anyone who did not embrace the woke principles of the military, whether it was, you know, their views on marriage, homosexuality. They were dismissed, done away with. Lloyd Austin is the one who presided over firing men in the military who refused to take the COVID vaccine because they didn't think it was a vaccine, because it wasn't a vaccine. And so thousands were mustered out because of that. And then, of course, he's the one who, you know, had something to do with having C.Q. Brown, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who loves DEI. And now we know he's all about DEI. Both of them are black. You know what? What's that all about? It has nothing to do with being black, but they were appointments by the left because that matters to them. But these are guys who are black who are not good men. They're not good men. And they have led us into quagmires, disgrace. The recruitments are way down, as we just heard. People are afraid to have their kids sign up, even career family, military families. And so now President Trump has appointed someone really way on the outside. He's not from within the ranks. He's not from a person who sits at the Joint Chiefs of Staff table. And so they are apoplectic over this choice. Well, who is Pete? And is he qualified? We'll talk about that in just a minute. You know, this is Sandy Reels 24/7. And I know that the audience is growing, and I'm so grateful. I'm really grateful. You can find me at sandyreels.com, and you can listen to the podcast there. You can also find it on all the other podcast platforms, and certainly our home base, which is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net. You can find me on social media platforms, but Twitter, I think, is the most powerful right now. Just telling you, even if you're not, I never said this before because I didn't think that necessarily regular people would benefit from Twitter, because it's been kind of a news source for those of us that are newsy. I'm trying to deliver, but I'm telling you, all of you, that is a platform for free speech, and that'll get your engines going, and you're going to know what's true and what isn't. So my Twitter handle, as they call it, is @SandyReelsTweet, and I recommend that you sign up for Twitter and use it, and please follow me on @SandyReelsTweet, and you'll hear additional things that I don't get to on this show. Well, a new Danish study shows that a year after aborting, women exhibited a 50% higher likelihood of first-time psychiatric treatment and an 87% higher likelihood of personality and behavioral disorders. How is this women's health care? The trauma of ending your own flesh and blood is the opposite of women's health care. Here's what women's health care looks like at Preborn's network clinics. Women are welcomed with open arms and feel loved from the moment they walk into the door. Then they're introduced to their baby on ultrasound and offered life-affirming choices. When they choose life, they are offered assistance for up to 2 years, including maternity clothes, diapers, counseling, and so much more. Preborn treats the woman, the whole woman, body, mind, and soul, and the baby growing inside of her. If you're looking for the greatest investment for your year-end write-offs, choose Preborn. Donating is simple. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right. Well, you understand how much is at stake with this appointment. Pete Hegseth, can he do it? Is he up to the job? What will he do and why are they so afraid of this appointment? We'll talk about that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Foolishness with which we ricocheted around the world, intervening, think it was in our best interest, when really we just overturned the table and created something worse in almost every single scenario.
The tumultuous end to America's longest war, immortalized in these chaotic scenes. The Taliban's lightning-fast takeover of Afghanistan, just weeks before the United States' planned military withdrawal, triggered such intense panic that thousands of Afghans stormed the Kabul airport in a desperate attempt to flee the country, some even clinging to a moving U.S. military aircraft as it rose into the sky and falling to their deaths.
I used to think it started in the 60s. It actually goes back to the progressive era and even before that. But they very intentionally, the one thing they knew they had to remove from the beginning was God. God had to come out of the schools because God was the immovable object that prevented their utopian schemes. You know, if you want to manipulate children, if you want to change the way they think, rewire the relationship of families, you have to get at the God thing. And so the early progressives, communists, Marxists, very intentionally worked hard in creating systems that slowly but surely removed God.
All right, that's the voice of Pete Hegseth. He is the nominee by President Trump for Secretary of Defense. And just a little background before, I've asked Bruce to join me. I'm going to have him talk a lot today because he knows a lot about Pete, and he's really the expert. So we're going to get to that in 1 second. But by way of background, because I've covered the military, because as you well know, my father served, my father-in-law served, both my father-in-laws, Vietnam, Korea, World War II. And my own husband served as an FBI agent, of course, which is another kind of service that doesn't get the due that it's due. When people stand in honor military, I always wish he could stand up too. But we care a great deal about this country. And so I found myself very active in what's going on in the military. And you may recall I've worked with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin on a number of occasions. We've been to the Pentagon to intercede because they started removing chaplains from their position if they prayed in the name of Jesus. They started, hiring or bringing on, Obama did this, all these Islamists to be so-called chaplains. And they've done horrible things. They've scrubbed training of what it really means to be an Islamist. They used the SPLC list of hate groups to tell their soldiers who they should suspect as domestic terrorists. And American Family Association was on that list. We saw a screenshot in a training. There we are. I used to get, right after the shooting at Fort Hood, when the Islamist who was part of the military stood up on a desk and just massacred. I don't even recall how many soldiers just took a gun and yelling Allahu Akbar. We were in Turkey when that happened, but I came back and I had so many listeners from Fort Hood. I had people calling constantly in the morning show and we were tracking what was happening. Well, they got in trouble for that. And I have to tell you, I've not heard from a single military person at Fort Hood since that time. So this is the kind of repression, ridiculousness that we have seen implemented. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are the result of many, many decades now of, pre-woke, shall we say pre-woke generals, men who excelled and got ahead because they did the bidding. They didn't have a sense of right and wrong themselves. They didn't lead. They followed the executive branch and did some horrible things. And so they've gotten us into a lot of messes. And we have several generations of bad generals and commanders. And so President Trump, I think, intends to kind of root that out, too. And thank God we are really honestly defenseless against our enemies right now. Whether it's China, even Russia is rivals our military, our nuclear capabilities. So I say all that to say, now here we have this Pete Hegseth. He's a Saturday morning co-host on Fox and Friends. What does he have to offer, and who is he? And so I've asked Bruce to join me because Bruce has been studying and making himself expert here on Pete, at least to a certain extent. And really, honey, I don't know. Who is Pete Hegseth from your perspective?
Well, I've been looking at Pete Hegseth very carefully, and the more I look at him, the more I like him. I am going to issue a challenge to the people that are opposing his nomination to do the same, to really dig in. Don't just say, oh, he's just a TV guy or he's a wild man in his personal life. Really look at who Pete Hegseth is.
Well, I'm really curious to see what you found. Like, who is he? Okay, so who is he?
Well, first off, let's start with his education. He has received degrees from both Princeton and from Harvard.
Really?
Yes. He has his bachelor's from Princeton and a master's from Harvard. I know sometimes we take those schools to task on here, and I'll actually say that there's a photograph of where Pete took his diploma from Harvard and crossed out Harvard and put DEI. So he understands that just because you went there doesn't mean you should embrace everything they teach you. But I'm just saying that as a benchmark for how intelligent this guy is. He served in the military. He went actually into active duty on two different occasions. And curiously enough, he went in through the Minnesota National Guard.
No
the
kidding.
Same outfit that our potential vice president would have gone in.
Mr. Happy Hands. Mr. Jazz Hands.
Yeah. So from 2003 to 2014, Pete served in the military and was deployed overseas. And from 2019 to 2021, he went back in and was in active duty, was in combat. And he's written books. He's an academician. He's a Christian. He's kind of like a Renaissance man. He's a father. He's has seven children. He's very attuned to the educational system. So, he's been interviewed at length by people and can speak to just a vast array of topics, not just the military.
Didn't he he left the service as a major, as I recall, the rank of major.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's not a lightweight when it comes to this. And I have I would just say that it takes, as anything else, it takes common sense and experience to and commitment now. This is harder to find, a commitment to turn things around and anger at what's going on inside an agency. You can find maybe better resume, in terms of military experience. But not that coupled with the determination to really take this on and stop it.
I think one of the biggest problems with our military has been the good old boy system that goes on. In other words, people get into the military, they achieve 3-4-star general rank, and then they slide over to the contracting side. And the reason that these companies like Raytheon, I'll just use them as an example, but there's many of them, Boeing, whoever gets defense contracts, why they hire these generals is not necessarily because of what they know, but it's because of who they know. And they know that there's a network of good old boys that steer contracts towards companies in exchange for, you know, getting these generals hired. And I thought one of the most telling comments when Pete was announced by President Trump as his pick for Secretary of Defense was a very big contractor, and I'll clean up his statement, but he said, "Who the F is Pete Hegseth?" Now, think about that. That's very important because that shows you that Pete is not one of the good old boys. In fact, you know, what Pete's going to bring, if he's confirmed, is he's going to bring the soldier on the ground, the grunts, the boots on the ground. He's going to bring their perspective. You know, the military-industrial complex in this country is gigantic, and the tentacles reach so far. There's so much money. I mean, you go to Washington, D.C., and it just keeps growing and growing, and a lot of it is based on us being involved in wars and producing weapons. Now, I'm all for equipping the military and getting them ready, but the thing is, there is so much fraud and abuse that goes on because the money is so big, and there's payoffs, and there's people that are wined and dined to get the contracts. It's a whole system. Now you bring in a Pete Hegseth. He is not part of this system. He was a boots-on-the-ground kind of guy, and he understands the military for what it is. So I think that what Pete's going to do is, look, the military-industrial complex will grind on. He cannot, as the Secretary of Defense, change that in and of itself. That process is involved in many different agencies. But what he can do and what he will do is change how the military is conducted in regards to its mission, which is to protect the country, and it's to equip the soldiers, and it's to give them the best chance to succeed that there is. And that does not mean using the U.S. military as a social experiment for, gee, let's see how it goes if we put women in combat with men. Gee, let's see how it goes if we put homosexual men into combat units with other men. Gee, let's see how it goes if we put transgender soldiers in with other soldiers. That is not the mission of the military. The military is designed to have the most efficient way to conduct its business.
Well, we just saw from whether it was Lloyd Austin or CQ Brown, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, how they, you know, really forced all of the agencies under them. That's the way the military works. They obey. So it's a top-down leadership. And so we can see that one man can make a huge difference. Bruce, I want to mention two things. Let me just first talk about, you touched on the military-industrial complex, and I want to explain to people why so many in Congress might object to Pete's appointment based on what Bruce just said. First of all, you have to understand that, especially on the, like, the Senate Intelligence Committee and those committees surrounding the military-industrial complex, these guys, I've often heard it say that the Foreign Affairs, Foreign Intelligence, whatever the exact name is, committee in the Senate is the most corrupt committee on the Hill. Why would I say that? Well, because they get very friendly with contractors and they get kickbacks. Well, all right, I'll just say they make money. Somehow they get really rich being on that committee. And so they're going to be really upset about a Pete who's not going to be part of the party. He's not going to be in the loop. It happens in the House as well. Mike Rogers, who just ran for Senate in Michigan, I've said this before, I'll tell you all again, Mike was up to his ears in, his bank account increased while he was chairman of the military committee, the foreign affairs committee, armed services, whatever it was. And so Mike actually resigned because his wife got one of these big vet contracts, so ironically, from the military. And she got the contract that was responsible for equipping and training troops and providing security at the embassy in Benghazi. And her company did a horrible job, put people on the job who were not prepared, weren't loyal, ran, did not defend. The ambassador's killed. All these guys are it went over the course of hours. And really, tons of people were really seriously injured in that, whose names you never heard. And Mike Rogers and his wife were up to their ears in that. And so instead of ever being brought to account, he resigns and goes back to Michigan. Now, that's just one thing I know for a fact about him, but he's just one example of why these people are not going to want Pete Hegseth to serve as a Secretary of the Defense, because he's not going to do, he's not going to want that nonsense. He's going to try to break up that friendly little money-making scheme. And the second part of that is that these guys who serve in Congress resign one day and the very next morning are, you know, have a job, an executive job at, say, Raytheon or Boeing or wherever, whatever the contractor is. So they are sort of recruited before they leave Congress. They're recruited to make the right decisions for those industries. And then they're recruited with or rewarded with, if they do hard things or, you know, actually produce, they're rewarded with really cushy jobs in these industries. And President Trump has already said that's got to stop. They're going to put some rules in place to stop congressmen from enriching themselves from the work that they do. And that will help to clean up things also. But one other thing, honey, that you said that I want to just give is policy. And you, this morning, because I asked you to, you carried the ball on this, you found several clips of Pete weighing in on policies in the military. So I'm going to go with this one. This is clip six, and then let's talk about it. Pete Hegseth on clip six here.
For meritocracy and lethality and readiness and accountability, and they're jamming all these, they're emphasizing the differences between troops and then de-emphasizing the reality of gender differences, that men and women are different and have different capabilities, and we're fighting wars that really matters. It's one thing in a classroom or a boardroom. It's another thing in the 101st Airborne.
Yes, okay, so that's he's a man after my own heart on that issue, Bruce. I don't know if I probably can speak to that better than you can, because, yeah, women in the military.
Well, Pete has made it very clear that he is not against women in the military. Now, that's what's being floated out there, is that he's against women in the military. What he is against is women serving in combat with the military. And he lists his reasons. One of them is that they do not have the physical strength that a man has. And say you're out on the battlefield and you know your fellow soldier gets wounded and they need to be carried to safety. Well, can a woman who's 125 pounds carry a man who's 195 pounds? It's just physics. The other thing is he talks about in military operations in combat, you need things to be as streamlined as possible because you have enough variables to deal with already in fighting an enemy. You do not need to introduce additional variables. And, you know, men for, maybe this is our bad, when we get around women, we have a natural instinct to protect them. Whether you're a big brother, whether you're a husband, I know a lot of people don't like that anymore, but that's the way men are designed. And, you know, in combat, if you see a woman get wounded or something, as a man, I know I would have more of an instinct that I have to help her regardless of what kind of risk it's going to present to either myself or to our unit. And that can be a problem. And that's not on the women, that's on the men, but it is a problem.
Well, Bruce, that makes me think of you. I'll just tell this story for you. When you were in the FBI, they were beginning to fold women into these more physical roles. And I remember you were being trained to fight, and they partnered you with this little small Asian girl, cute as a button, very smart. But you couldn't really be, you were not free to fight and learn because you would hurt her. Did I get that right? Yeah. Did I say that right?
Yes, and I accidentally, I was used to a male partner. I'd had a male gym partner for about 3 months, and all of a sudden he dropped out of the class, and they paired me with this woman who was about 100 pounds, and she was about a foot shorter than the guy I had been used to, doing holds and chokes on and things. And I accidentally hit her right across the throat, whereas I was used to going high on the, lower on the man. It accidentally hit her in the throat, and I never felt so badly in my life.
But see, but how then that hindered your training, because then you couldn't really put your full strength into it. So
I have to say I backed down quite a bit after having that happen.
Yeah, so that didn't do you any services. And this is an issue that I've worked on for years, and we'd get sidetracked here, but I want to give some background. Phyllis Schlafly, years ago, my good friend Phyllis, who I loved, fought against the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, that sounds like old history. Like, Jan, yeah, we know about that. Maybe some of the older people will know. Some of the younger ones won't. But the Equal Rights, the ERA, purported to be all about giving women freedom and giving them rights. And Phyllis always said, this is one of the many things it's going to do. It's going to erase the differences between men and women. Men and women are equal, but they're not the same. They're equal, but they're not the same. And so when you make them all the same, she said they're going to do all kinds of things. And one of the things she listed was put women in combat. And at the time, it sounded so far-fetched. This was way back. There's no way they would put women in combat. And yet that's exactly what they decided to do a few years ago. And I want to tell you, because I do know a lot about this issue, that women in the military didn't want that. They didn't want that. And we have now women who are trying to opt out, trying to get out of going into combat any way they can. It's put a real hardship on them. The people driving this were the female officers who were climbing up the ladder. That's what they wanted. They weren't going into combat, but they were sending regular women soldiers into combat, and that was helping them somehow achieve their rank. So it's been a disaster. Women have 30% less upper body strength than men. Think about the periods. And if you're in the trenches or you're in a foxhole and you're out in combat and you've got women, they have different needs physically. It's a disaster. Then you take the attractions between men and women, you factor that in. This is a horrible idea. So I want to cheer on Pete Hegseth for just making that bold statement, because everybody knows women are supposed to be able to do anything, but it's not true.
Well, you know what? The thing I like hearing out of Pete's mouth is the word lethality. And a lot of people don't like that. Oh, you're talking about killing. Well, I hate to break it to a lot of people, but that's what the military is there to do, that if to defend our country they need to kill people, then that's what they will do. And the less lethal your fighting force is, the more at risk you put your people. And as the Secretary of Defense, you are there to make your fighting machine the most efficient it can be. You know, this is I found this ironic that you talked about the Fort Hood shooting. This is what our military under Biden has been concerned with. Fort Hood is no longer called Fort Hood, because Fort Hood was named after a Confederate general, and the fort is in Texas, and General Hood had come from Texas. Well, now the name of Fort Hood is Fort Cavazos, C-A-V-A-Z-O-S, because we can't have a Confederate, you know, celebrated by the military.
I didn't even know that. Cavazos?
Yeah, Cavazos.
Oh, my word.
So
yeah,
that shows you what Lloyd Austin has been up to. If you know, think of Lloyd Austin's actions. Remember when he needed his surgery, and I think he was a little embarrassed because it was on his prostate, and he went in for surgery and no one knew he was missing. He was gone for like 3 days, and finally somebody goes, "Hey, where's Secretary Austin?" And we were in a very tense situation at this time in the Ukraine situation. And finally, it came out, well, oh, he's in a hospital having surgery. Secretary of Defense.
And, no one covering.
And he did not alert his second-in-command. And even if he had, she was on vacation in Colorado at the time. And so basically, the head of the Department of Defense, while we're involved in Ukraine, was missing in action, shall we say.
You know, just an aside, also, since you said they're renaming forts, that reminds me of, my poor husband's getting tired of me talking about this, but I'm currently reading a book on tape, and also just loving this book. It's called A Gentleman in Moscow, and Moscow is what it is in American, so the Moscovites call it Moscow, but Gentleman in Moscow is about the revolution in Russia. And one of the things that I knew already, but you see it certainly very clearly in this, or read about it in this book, is that the communists were trying to destroy the past. They wanted to change everything, every beautiful building, every painting. They're destroying paintings, historical paintings, because they don't want people to be tethered to the past. They want them to be untethered and only loyal to the government, which is now God. So this is what they've been doing in this country, meaning the left, meaning the communist left in this country, destroying our statues, changing the names of forts. And Lloyd Austin was right in the middle of all of that. So we have to take a bit of a break. But when we come back, Bruce, I just want to play a couple more clips of Pete, because he makes some, he talks about something else that's really been near and dear, I think, to both our hearts. I think of Petraeus. Set this in motion in part under the Obama administration. That's rules of engagement, which has caused so many of our soldiers to be killed and hurt and other things. And we'll talk about that briefly on the other side of this. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All of you who listen to this podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, know about Preborn. They provide ultrasound for moms who find themselves pregnant and are in crisis. They're not married. It's not their husband. It's just all kind of, so many children, they worry economically whether they can afford it. There are a lot of reasons why women consider abortion, but most of the time, and I mean over half the time, maybe as much as 60%, of women decide to keep their babies when they see these 40 ultrasound pictures of the baby moving around, sucking its thumb. It's just, it's a miracle. I remember that miracle when I was carrying my son and found out he was a boy. So that's what Preborn does. And if you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place an ultrasound machine in a needy women's center, saving countless babies for years to come. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Why have we spent the last 20 years fighting enemies that don't abide by rules at all when we live now in a world in 2024 where all of our enemies use all of their advantages against us, ignoring all the rules of war and then expecting us to play by all those very same rules, where we're our largest critiquers in the middle of the process, and then we wonder why the war never ends and why it perpetuates itself, and then why we're throwing our own guys in jail? because we've written rules that are impossible, that are written for us to lose.
All right, that's, again, Pete Hegseth. I wanted you to hear that because that's another hot button. You may recall that a few months ago I talked about these prisoners in Leavenworth. These were guys in combat in Iraq and Iran, Iraq, and the Middle East. And this has been during the Obama years. And they got into an altercation. This is just one situation. There were others like this where they thought a car was filled with enemy combatants, and it turns out they were wrong. But they had reason to believe that. And they were charged with murder. They were charged with criminal offenses. They're on the battlefield with their guns trying to defend themselves. And they were charged with murder. And so there are many military men languishing in Leavenworth because of the rules of engagement. And they were set in place by General Petraeus, who said that, you know, you couldn't fire unless you were being fired at. They had all of these ridiculous rules. And men, as a result of that, more men were killed and many, many were wounded seriously. And so that's what Pete is hinting at. And so God bless Pete Hegseth on that one.
Yeah, if you remember, just to add on to what you were saying by being shot at, our soldiers were not allowed to identify threats and shoot at them. What they had to do is wait to see the threat, and then for the threat to actually shoot at our soldiers before our soldiers could shoot at them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see a car racing towards the gate at a military installation that looks very similar to, you know, cars that have come in there and blown off car bombs. And instead of being able to shoot at them, our soldiers had to wait till the car actually hit the gate.
Like you're in New York City or Chicago or something, like the rules for policemen. I want to say one other thing that Petraeus did, which is not a rule of engagement, but it was a military practice under his ridiculous, feckless leadership. And that was, and this is a little graphic, so if you have kids, you know, please use your best discretion on letting them hear this. But it is the practice of practicing Muslim men, and I mean serious, like Islamic practicing Muslim men, to take boys as sex partners. It's very common. It just happens in the Muslim world. I could give you examples, but just trust me, it's true. And so in the American base, I believe it was Bagram, these Islamic men who were in combat, embedded with our troops, were bringing these little boys into the camp, and our soldiers could hear them screaming and crying and begging. They could hear that, and they tried to intercede, and they were told by Petraeus to stand down because that we couldn't interfere with their practices. So I'm just telling you, this is what's been happening in our military now for decades. And I believe someone like Pete has the passion to stop this.
You know, another thing that Pete, I think, is going to bring, and I see this with the FBI, with retired groups, groups like veterans groups, FBI retired agents groups, they love to have access to the president administrations, to the actual FBI or the actual military that's in power. And what that means is that they are not necessarily looking out for the good of the members. They're looking out for the good of their seat at the table. And President Trump, I saw an interview, he actually said to Pete, I'm considering you for this post with Veterans Affairs. This was back in 2016. But in talking to the veterans groups, they all hate you. Why do they hate you? And Pete says, Mr. President, that's because I'm concerned about the actual veterans and not the veterans groups. And it's the same thing with the FBI. I watch our associations of retired agents, and all they care about is, they don't care about the street agents. All they care about is being, you know, in the limelight. And so I found that to be a positive.
Yeah,
once
absolutely.
Again, he's helping the people. You know, the guys, the bosses.
You know, Bruce, I just was going to say, I've heard that rumors, not more than rumors, but that military families are getting kind of excited, and want to bring their kids so they can carry out that great tradition in their families. They're not ready to do that yet. We got to get rid of this dead rot, and they're dead rot. They've tried to destroy our country, and using the military is a really good way to do that. And I'm just amazed that we could actually pull this back. I really am.
Well, you look at what's happened to the service academies, whether it be West Point, the Naval Academy, or the Air Force Academy, Coast Guard Academy. They have really borne the brunt of this woke stuff. And we've heard how many reports of cadets or trainees that had, say, whiteboards on their door of their dorm room, and they put a scripture verse. And the next thing you know, they're being disciplined. They're being threatened with being thrown out of the academy for having a scripture verse.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to believe. In fact, we just heard a parent that has a child who's a freshman at the Naval Academy, so excited over the new change in administration, because this person told us that their, you know, their student, that their son has been calling them and telling them, "Dad, we are inundated at the academy with this DEI stuff."
You know, I'll tell you one story. I didn't tell you this, honey, and I didn't pull this clip, but one last thing here. There was someone standing outside VMI, Virginia Military Institute. That's where that's a pre-training ground for people that go, young men that go into the military, and girls too now. And so I guess a guy who worked there was with his phone, and you could hear from behind it's like a metal wall. You can hear it. And some announcer says, "The results of the election, the winner is Donald Trump," and you hear them screaming and just going on and on with yelling for being so happy about it. And it was really, really fun. So I think, God willing, we'll see that. Certainly Mikey Weinstein, by the way, was an atheist graduate of the Air Force Academy, who really started that whole movement to remove any God completely from the military. We fought him tooth and nail. I fought him tooth and nail in my, earlier iteration. So,
well, I can tell you that my roommate at the FBI Academy was a graduate of the Virginia Military Institute, and I can tell you he would be very happy over the results of this election.
Yeah, he's no longer with us, right?
But, no, he is no longer with us.
Well, listen, God is at work. Nothing else could explain this. Nothing else could explain this. And I want to remind you, we talked Monday about the appointment of Matt Gaetz, and if you didn't listen to that, I suggest that you do, because there's really important information in there. We know that the senators are not going to be our friends on this. And I told you on Monday that I think there is going to be a recess appointment in a different kind of way. And again, Monday's show will explain that. We'll see if President Trump can get Matt Gaetz and Pete Hegseth and some of the other nominees through. We're praying so. And we kind of have a feeling that it's going to happen. I mean, we've come so far. God has intervened to such a great degree that I think we're going to see some wonderful things happen. But I want to hasten to add, please do not think that I'm telling you that everything's going to be great and everybody's, again, to overuse a phrase that I use, a Sunday school teacher. There will be things that they do and say that we won't like. I think Pete had the thing they have against him, you'll hear, I think he's been married 3 times and he does have 7 children. These are not going to be men you're going to hire for your pastor. But Pete is a Christian, and I don't know about Matt. I know a lot of people, Christian in quotes, who don't do anything or do terrible things. I could name some names, but I won't. So that's not even a safe moniker anymore. So look at what men do and not what they say. And that's what we're going to do as we watch these nominations.
You know, I find it absolutely ironic to hear the Democrats screaming about these nominees. And what I would challenge people to do is go to the internet and pull up the photographs and names of the people that are currently serving in the Biden administration. You see men dressed as women. I saw a picture the other day. It said "Our Pete," and it had a picture of Pete Hegseth in military uniform, and it said "Their Pete," and it was a picture of Pete Buttigieg with a prosthetic woman's breast on his chest feeding a baby.
Yeah, so there you go. So, and that's just one example. So we could have Rachel Levin, Assistant Secretary of Health, Human and Services, Rachel, so-called, a very heavy kind of plump guy with a big double chin, wearing baby doll pajamas at Reagan Airport. I'll never forget that photo. So we could go on, because there are more, but you get the idea. And so we just hold our breath. We pray, right? We pray to that God's will be done in every way possible. And someone said at this event we were in D.C. last week, that even, and this is true, that Elon Musk, who is not known as a Christian, Elon Musk himself is beginning to embrace Christian principles and actually acknowledging that Christian principles have provided foundational understanding and strength for the United States. So that's a step in the right direction. And now that's we have to see, those of us, you and I, that are followers of Jesus Christ, that we are salt and light, that we are telling our neighbors, that we are leading exemplary lives, not pious, not like a fake holiness, not the right words about church and God, but a genuine holiness that radiates from our faces, like the face of Moses when he spent time with God, and that we can win neighbors and friends by the lives that we live and the things that we say, and we embrace righteousness. This is our task now for the next 4 years, from my perspective, why we still can. And while the time is ripe and people really, I think, are maybe open to it. So that's our marching orders. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for listening today to this edition. And by the way, I want to thank Timothy Plan, because it's a place that sponsors our show. Thank God for them. You can put your money where your values are with Timothy Plan and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.